This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA plus community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
Right now is one of the most important times in the 26-year history of Joy. Times are tough financially, but that will never stop us delivering powerful, meaningful, and uplifting radio for you. To get ready for the future, we're launching Joy Nation, and we need your support to do it. So help Joy by asking your workmates, your next door neighbour, your mum, your dad, your siblings, and of course your friends. Go to joy.org.au and make a donation to build Joy Nation. Joy, your voice, your radio station.
Across Melbourne on Joy 94.9 and streaming online at joy.org.au, you're listening to Saturday Magazine. Every Saturday, 10 till 12.
You are on Saturday Magazine Joy 94.9 with Macca and Tass. Tass, who's our next guest?
Our next guest is Georgie Crozier, who's the Upper House Member of Parliament for the Southern Metropolitan Region. So, Georgie is also the Opposition Minister for Health. Good morning to you, Georgie.
Good morning, Macca. Good morning, Tav.
Great to have you on the airwaves, and thank you for making some time for us available this morning. Of course, there's lots on our agenda that we'd like to discuss with you, and I'm not sure what you're interested in talking about, but Macca was particularly interested in exploring what's occurring in the Liberal Party at the moment.
I mean, you've been in the news a bit. Let's get it out of the way at the start, Georgie.
Can I just stop you guys there for a second? Sorry, I'm having difficulty hearing you both.
Oh, right. Testing. Can you hear us?
I can, but it's quite faint. Anyway, don't worry. I'll try and move into a quieter.
We can hear you clearly. Perhaps we might ask our panelists. Okay. Let's continue for a moment, and I'll talk to our panelists.
Yeah. So, quite a lot been going on or being reported in the media this week about the opposition and. I suppose I'm not going to call it dissension or interruptions or whatever. There seems to be some difficulty, Georgie, when I look at the polls and, you know, and discussion forums, there seems to be some difficulty in the opposition getting some cut through. Is that unreasonable of me to be thinking that?
No, I don't think it's unreasonable. I think that's been a general issue for oppositions right around the country, whether it's state or federal level. And in fact, I think what we've tried to do as a state opposition is to ask questions on behalf of the Victorian community, highlight the failures and really sort of understand those. Of course, we don't have the same ability to speak to the people for an hour, hour and a half through press conferences that are televised live. And so there is a real difficulty in terms of getting our message out, if you like, compared to the government. And, of course, we have been shut out of the parliament, so our inability to ask questions in that forum, which is the people's forum, has also been very difficult. So I think it is fair to say that we haven't been able to have that cut through that a lot of people have spoken about. But can I say I think there are more and more people that have never been engaged in politics like they have now, because the decisions that are being made on behalf of every single one of us is in their minds. So I think you'll see more people wanting to know more from us, understandably, and that's our job. And I take that criticism, you know, I accept that criticism from people.
I think, you know, reality is, Georgie, is that the as a viewer and a listener, predominantly the sound bites that we are getting in radio and television is a little bit carping. You know, it's not, I'm not saying that yourself or Mike O'Brien or Matthew Guy or others are not, you know, not saying more positive things. The media are, you know, only reporting, you know, the carping comments or, you know, and I think that's unfortunate because it's important that people get to hear all that you say, which is why, you know, we devote time, you know, on this program to hear from you guys, so people can hear, not just, oh, well, I think the government's done this wrong, and et cetera, et cetera. The other positive aspects that you can talk about, I think that's really important.
Oh, sure, and we appreciate this opportunity because, as you say, I don't have that capacity to be able to speak to the public like the government does,
yeah,
or have the government push in terms of their messaging. And we have had, we've said a whole lot of positive things. I think one of the big issues has been around mental health. And as we all know, that has just really come into the forefront in recent weeks and months. But that's something that we've been speaking about since last year. I was raising that we should have medical experts like psychiatrists, a team of epidemiologists and surgeons and others on the panel to advise government. So we've been saying that we've ramped it up in recent times because of the immense issue around mental health and the terrible, terrible statistics that we know are impacting our children. So
I did see the chief psychiatrist do a press conference early this week, or late this week, I believe.
Correct.
Neil Coventry came out and spoke to, the media the way in which the Premier and the Chief Health Officer do. So that's what you're talking about, isn't it? Ensuring that we have a more joined up approach across a range of issues that are affecting our community.
Exactly, because we knew that the mental health impacts were very significant during the second lockdown, but they have accumulated over the past year and a bit since the start of that lockdown. So we know that because we get it, from people that are constantly speaking to us, those people that are contacting me. It's just huge, the impacts. And that's why we've been saying, where is the chief psychiatrist? Why aren't they involved in the decision-making process? Because, of course, we know COVID is incredibly dangerous and transmissible. We all know that. But there are these other impacts too that are affecting people's lives, and we know the terrible statistics that we've discovered recently through the efforts of the media to get reports and to expose, the terrible numbers of young girls suiciding, self-harm. I know that, the presentations to emergency departments, I'm being told that by so many people. And I'm being exposed, GPs, teachers, parents will tell me about the impacts to the kids. So for the chief psychiatrist to come out only this week demonstrates just how the government is reacting to that community push. And that, to go to your point, we're not cutting through.
Look, I'm going to challenge that just a little bit, Georgie, because there have been a series of announcements made by government with a whole range of mental health packages. The one that I know of and I'm closest to is, of course, the thing that we spoke about on this very show after it was launched, which was the Rainbow Door program. It's a program that's a mental health program initiative operated by Switchboard Victoria that's targeted at the LGBTIQ plus community. Now, what was announced last week or the week before, I believe, was continued funding, not first-time funding, but continued funding. And that's a mental health intervention unique in this country, unique in the history of Victoria, that's targeted at our community. So I think it's a bit unfair to say that it's only just begun and government's only just beginning to respond. But I'd like to change the topic a little bit if I can.
Well, could I just say, I'm talking about school children, the impacts to school children, I suppose I was referring to, and that's why we were calling on vaccinate teachers, use rapid testing, look at those areas.
So you're advocating mandatory vaccination for school teachers?
No, what we've always said is, and we've been saying for months, is that they should be deemed to be essential services and that they should be as a priority to be vaccinated. So we've been saying that for months, and we've been saying that rapid testing should be used. And if there is an outbreak in an area, of course close those schools. We're not saying open everywhere, but why do we close schools in Mallacoota if there's no virus in that area? That we need a bit more of a nuanced approach rather than this blanket rule. So that's what I'm talking about in terms of the mental health impacts more broadly across the broader community.
So
yes, there have been targeted packages, as you said, but in terms of the broader impacts, I think the government you know, bringing the chief psychiatrist to the fore now is something that they're reacting to because the public have been talking about this issue too.
I suppose what I'm saying is that I don't think that the mental health concerns of our community have been ignored. I think that bringing out the chief psychiatrist was symbolic as much as anything else, but there have been serious considerations made about the mental health of our community. But I'd like to talk about another issue if I can. There's been some reports in the media, especially today as well, but also leading into this weekend, about the impact of COVID on hospital staff. What are your reflections, firstly as the opposition minister for health, and secondly as a former health clinician? You're a nurse by background, I understand. So what are your reflections from the opposition's perspective about what's occurring in our hospital system?
Yeah, sure. So, excuse me, I'm a former nurse and a former midwife and spent 16 years in the public health system. So I have, you know, somewhat of an appreciation, even if it is a number of years ago, and nothing. I've never dealt with a pandemic like this that our current hospitals and health workforce are dealing with. And they have been magnificent, truly magnificent. And I do speak to a number of them. Doctors, nurses, a whole range of people that work in it, and they're telling me what they're seeing. GPs also. So everyone across that spectrum have worked so tirelessly to protect the community, and they really need to be commended. What I'm concerned about is that there has been a lack of a funding. The government made an announcement last year of $1.2 billion for 4,000 intensive care beds. Now, we see that reported again today. And that's an easy line, but you've got to have staff that are trained and capable of looking after those very sick patients. And that's what I get as, you know, as my role as the Shadow Health Minister. And if you hear me being a bit winchy and carpy, it'll be about that, because I say, well, that's just a line, but you can say that, government, but there's no detail behind it. Where are the staff to manage those critically ill patients? Now, if they said something like, well, you know, not everyone's going to be on a ventilator, because we don't have, we know, I've been asking since last February, how many intensive care beds have we got around the state? I still haven't got a fulsome answer. It's taken me almost a year to get, in the latest public accounts and estimates, just over 500. But they can gear up to, I think, over 1,000. But again, I haven't got that information. No one will give me that information. Yet the government is saying we've got 4,000 intensive care beds we're gearing up to. Well, I challenge the government. Where are they and how are you going to staff them? And that's my role, to question the government. So I think it's hugely challenging for hospitals, and I think the doctors who are speaking out on this are rightly concerned about the underfunding over successive years. Certainly, you know, the last 21 years we've been in government for four. We were working towards that, but this is underinvestment. We saw that in 2019 when $200 million had to be pumped in because of flu. Well, it was underfunded then, and we know the system has been underfunded, and this was just going to add pressures to our hospital system. We had record people waiting on waiting lists pre-COVID. Those waiting lists are just going to get bigger, and sadly people are going to get sicker and sicker. Their medical conditions will get worse. So I think we've got a massive challenge, not only in the short term, but also in the medium and long term.
Thank you, Georgie. I think we're almost out of time, unfortunately. It's great to hear another perspective on this incredibly important topic. Thank you for your time this morning. Thank you for
for the opportunity.
Yeah, and thank you for so willingly. And could you hear us in the end? Had we fixed that up?
Yes, I could. Thank you very much.
We thought it might
have been a bit clearer.
So. Yeah, we did turn up the volume from our end, but we think it might have been something to do with the, who knows, there's a bit of drilling happening in the background. Anyway, enjoy the rest of your weekend, and thank you very much for your time, Georgie.
And you too.
Thanks
so much indeed. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Saturday Magazine, every Saturday from 10 until noon on Joy 94.9.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.